Ladies and gentlemen, colleagues, good morning and welcome to the conference call of the BMW Group first quarter 2017. We have here Harald Grüner, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Nicolas Peters, Member of the Board of Management of BMW AG, in charge of finance. The gentleman will first give you an overview of development of business, and after that, you have the opportunity to ask your questions. Harald Grüner has the floor. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The BMW Group always takes a long-term approach. The business environment remains volatile and marked by uncertainty. We continue to chart our own course. To this end, we make strategic decisions and enter into partnerships. This is how we continue to secure the future competitiveness of the BMW Group. As I said at the annual accounts press conference, we're going on the offensive, which means for the current fiscal year, we have set ourselves ambitious goals. After the first quarter, we're right on track. Our guidance for the full year 2017 remains stable. We inspire our customers. We're launching the biggest model initiative in our company's history. This year alone, we will launch more than 20 new or revised car models, with another 20 to follow next year. There will also be 14 new BMW Motorrad models this year. Our customers will be able to choose between a wide range of different drivetrains. We're consistently setting the course for the future. That is what our strategy number one, Next, stands for. We're leveraging the possibilities of digitalization to make mobility and take it to a new dimension for our customers. This applies to both our vehicles and our services. Our production and internal processes are also becoming more digital. This will also significantly increase the speed of our actions. Our goal is clear. We want to be the technology and innovation leader in mobility. I would like to say a few words about all three of these topics. Let's start with the first one. You know our targets for financial year 2017. New all-time highs for deliveries at group level and a new record for group profit before tax. We expect the EBIT margin in the automotive segment to remain within the range of 8 to 10%. And we have also set ourselves the goal of selling 100,000 electrified vehicles this year. After the first quarter, we're well on track. Group sales posted a record first quarter in the history of the BMW Group. Our BMW Mini and BMW Motorrad brands also reported their best ever first quarters. The BMW brand delivered more than 500,000 vehicles in the single quarter for the first time. The EBIT margin for the automotive segment reached 9.0%. Our pre-tax earnings increased significantly to more than 3 billion euros. As previously reported, this is mainly due to valuation effects in the financial result. We are planning high upfront investments for the full year. This will include investment in our model initiative, our locations worldwide, and in future technologies such as electrification and autonomous driving. All these factors will affect our earnings momentum this year. The consistent electrification of our portfolio is a clear priority. We know from experience that customers prefer to have more choices. In the first quarter, we delivered twice as many BMW plug-in hybrids, BMW i3s and i8s, than in the same period last year. Almost 20,000 customers opted for an alternative drivetrain. This means that electrified vehicles already account for more than 3% of total BMW Group sales. When the new Mini Countryman plug-in hybrid arrives in the summer, we will have a total of 9 electrified models in our showrooms. Our electric BMW i3 was designed for urban mobility right from the beginning. Unlike series-produced models with a combustion engine, the sales curve for the i3 is continuing its upward course. In the first quarter alone, sales figures were up 50% over the same period of last year. Of course, the extended range also contributed to this. As I've said, electromobility is a marathon. New models will provide us with further momentum. In 2018, the BMW i8 Roadster, in 2019, a pure electric Mini, and in 2020, a pure electric BMW X3. Our efforts will continue to require extensive investment. Let's move on to the second aspect. We inspire customers. The new BMW 5 Series sets the benchmark in connected services. It also offers a wide range of drivetrains and extras, which customers like. The 5 Series sedan is in great demand. In the first month since market launch, we've sold more than twice as many cars, the 5 Series, than we did of its successful predecessor in the same time. We're also very pleased about the strong incoming orders for the plug-in hybrid model and the M Performance variant, which have been on sale since March. In June, the successor to the popular long wheelbase version in China will become available, as well as the Touring. All these models will generate further impetus growth. Sales of our flagship, the BMW 7 Series, were 50% higher than in the first quarter of last year. As you know, we want to increase our sales in the upper premium segment significantly by 2020. To achieve this, we're selectively expanding our range in the luxury class. Towards the end of the year, Rolls-Royce will launch the 8th generation of the legendary Phantom. It will come with a new aluminium architecture. For 2018, we have announced the BMW X7, a model with a very strong emotional appeal. Other new models will also strengthen our position in the high-margin luxury segment. In addition to its new top model, the X7, the successful BMW X family will also welcome attractive new additions in other segments, the new BMW X3 later on this year, and a new BMW X2 next year. Also, the entire BMW 4 Series range has been revised. All four series models, including the M4 Coupe and the M4 Convertible, are now even more sporty, connected, and upscale. At MINI, the new Countryman has had a good start. Just like the John Cooper Works model, the plug-in hybrid already mentioned will be available in June. So on to our third topic, we're setting the course for the future. One of the BMW Group's strengths is its high level of flexibility in all areas. Our balanced distribution of sales and our presence in the main market regions of the world helps us offset regional fluctuations. For production, we can rely on a highly efficient global network of 31 locations in 14 countries. This allows us to adjust our model mix quickly in response to changes in demand. When it comes to drive technologies, we prefer a broad and flexible approach. It is still too early for accurate predictions about which drivetrain will prevail in which marketplace and when. That is why it is even more important for us to stay quick and ready to react. With the strategy number one next, we'll take efficient dynamics to the next level. Efficient dynamics to zero. We will continue to make our combustion engines even more efficient. An important factor remains the aerodynamic optimization of all of our models. By 2025, all our vehicles with combustion engines will be fitted with electric ELV recuperation systems. This will bring a further CO2 reduction of around 5-7%. And we are working on fuel cells for longer distances with our partner Toyota. The modern diesel drive is also a component of efficient dynamics to zero. There's much being said about diesel. However, we prefer a more fact-based and rational discussion. I would now like to say something about the facts. One thing is certain. Diesel plays a key role in Europe's ambitious climate policy. Clean diesel vehicles of the Euro 6 generation use at least 25% less fuel than comparable petrol models. Therefore, they emit at least 15% less CO2. It will not be possible to meet the EU's strict CO2 targets for 2020 without diesel. We will continue to need clean diesel drivetrains in the future, and that is why we equip our new models with the most modern technologies for exhaust gas treatment. As the number of Euro 6 vehicles in the market grows, diesels will account for less and less of overall particulate matter and NOx emissions. Particulate matter is only an issue for diesel cars over 10 years old without particle filter anyway. Particulate emissions from engines only account for a very small percentage of the total volume. However, in public discussions, air quality alerts and diesel vehicle bans are often mentioned in the same breath. Without the facts, the debate about diesel creates uncertainty, especially for owners of older diesel models. Car owners should be motivated by the right incentives to switch to new technologies like electromobility or to newer and more efficient combustion engines. Big cities benefit most from an intelligent mix of solutions. For example, improved traffic flow, support for e-mobility and charging infrastructure, promotion of car sharing with modern low-emission vehicles, less congestion and easier parking through digitalization, as well as environmentally friendly buses and taxis. As a global company, we need planning reliability for our investment decisions. The same applies to our customers and their purchasing decisions. But how is anyone supposed to make a decision when every country has different regulations and every big city has its own concept for low-emission zones? Planning reliability comes from joint solutions. Individual mobility and diesel need a coherent framework, both on a national level here in Germany and across the European Union. Ladies and gentlemen, with our strategy, we have a clear roadmap for the future. Let me give you two current examples. Autonomous driving. We are working intensively with Intel and Mobileye on the development of autonomous vehicles, and we're making good progress. Electromobility. We're strengthening this important future technology at our home base in Germany. We have the highest level of in-house development in electric engines, power electronics, and battery of any of our competitors. We are now electrifying all our brands and model series. We are creating flexible vehicle architectures for both conventional and electrified drivetrains. This enables us to meet the varying needs and demands in the markets. Today already, 9 locations worldwide produce 9 electrified models, 8 of which were plug-in hybrids. From 2021, the BMW iNEXT will be our new innovation spearhead. We've decided to build the iNEXT at our Dingolfing plant. Together with our Landshut plant, we're expanding Dingolfing as our second competence center for e-mobility alongside our Leipzig plant. Dingolfing has much experience in lightweight construction, highly complex model series and connected vehicles. The iNEXT, as a larger BMW i vehicle, fits into this spectrum. Ladies and gentlemen, all of this shows we are implementing our strategy step by step. We anticipate trends in our business environment and react dynamically and flexibly to unexpected changes. Our strong financial foundation and our operational strength enables us to continue to shape our own future. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Krüger. Now, Dr. Peter, please. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd also like to say good morning to you. The BMW Group has begun the year with a good, strong first quarter. With this, we were able to build on the success of the successful 2016 financial year. In the first 3 months of the year, group profit before tax increased by around one quarter to 3 billion euros. As we had already communicated 2 weeks ago, this increase is mainly due to positive valuation effects. The EBIT margin in the automotive segment is at 9%. As we made clear at our annual accounts press conference, our focus is firmly on the future. This year, in 2017, we will be investing in the further electrification of our model lineup and new technologies. Sustainable profitability within our core business is the basis for this. Let us start by taking a look at the performance at group level. In the first quarter of 2017, group revenues reached 23.45 billion euros and were thus 12.4% higher than in the previous year. Group pre-tax earnings totaled 3.01 billion euros. This was partly due to positive effects from new investors acquiring a stake in the mapping service here, as well as valuation effects in the other financial result. The earnings contribution from our Chinese joint venture BBA also benefited from its strong market position. Driven by a dynamic sales performance, it increased by 87 million euros to a total of 188 million euros. In the first quarter of 2016, the production changeover for the BMW X1 had an adverse effect there. Thanks to the factors mentioned earlier, the group's EBT margin stood at 12.8%. Group net profit rose to 2.15 billion euros. As previously announced, in 2017, we have launched the largest product initiative in the company's history. The new 5 Series sedan and the new Mini Countryman came onto the market during the first quarter. Preparations for further new models are already underway. However, the bulk of the cost is likely to be reported over the rest of the year. We invested a total of 605 million euros in property, plant and equipment and other intangible assets in the first quarter. This represents a relatively low CapEx ratio of 2.6% in line with seasonal factors. For the full year, we expect the ratio to be above last year's level but below our target of 5%. As forecast, research and development expenditure for the first quarter increased significantly and reached a total of 1.32 billion euros, which is 343 million euros more than last year. Therefore, as expected, our R&D ratio of 5.6% slightly exceeds our target range of 5 to 5.5%. For the full year, the ratio is likely to be slightly above our target corridor. Over the course of the year, we're planning further substantial investments in our product initiatives, continued development of e-mobility, and strategic projects like autonomous driving. So let's move on to the automotive segment. Deliveries of our three brands rose by 5.3% in the first quarter. In China in particular, growth remains strong, which is due to our attractive new models and that consistent focus on the needs of our Chinese customers. We have further expanded our offering with the extended wheelbase version of the BMW X1 and the recently launched 1 Series sedan. The new long wheelbase version of the 5 Series sedan will provide a further boost mid-year. The positive trend in automotive sales also continued in Europe. In the Americas, measures taken last year are now showing results. The sales situation has stabilized as expected. We have adapted the SUV share to the high demand and cleared stocks. Going forward, we will be keeping a clear focus on earnings quality in all sales regions. The solid growth in worldwide deliveries also drove revenues, namely to 20.69 billion euros, which is a 10% increase compared to the previous year. The X models and the BMW 7 Series are especially popular with our customers. We're also seeing positive effects from the launch of the new 5 Series. Segment EBIT rose by 6.1% to around 1.87 billion euros. The EBIT margin was 9%. The financial result in the segment for the period reached a total of 408 million euros due to the effects mentioned earlier. Pre-tax earnings in the automotive segment increased by almost a third to 2.28 billion euros. Automotive free cash flow developed positively and stands at 1.6 billion euros, which mainly reflects the strong net profit as well as sound management of inventories. As forecast, free cash flow for the full year is expected to total more than 3 billion euros. Let me now turn to the financial services segment. In the first quarter 2017, we concluded around 466,000 new financing and leasing contracts with retail customers. This represents a significant increase of 12.6%, mainly from growth in Chinese credit financing. At the end of March, BMW Financial Services managed a total portfolio of almost 4.8 million customer contracts. 49.2% of new BMW Group vehicles were financed or leased by financial services in the first quarter. Pre-tax earnings for the segment reached 595 million euros, which is a 4.4% increase year on year. The positive development of the risk situation continued in the first quarter. The net credit loss ratio of 0.33% remains broadly in line with last year's low level. As expected, used car prices worldwide, with the exception of Asia, decreased slightly due to seasonal factors. We have made comprehensive provisions to cover existing and potential risks in our financial services business and constantly monitor our risk management parameters. Of course, this also applies to our diesel vehicles. From today's perspective, we are well protected against residual value and credit risks. Ladies and gentlemen, I would now like to talk about the motorcycle segment. Right on time for the start of the new season, our current product range, which includes many new models, has been very well received by our customers. In the first 3 months of 2017, BMW Motorrad sold more than 35,000 motorcycles, which is 5.5% more than last year's record figure. This March saw our entry into the segment below 500 cubic centimeters with the G310R. The long-distance Enduro R1200GS has been thoroughly redesigned and was also successfully launched in March. With the new R90 Pure and the R90 Racer, we have extended our popular heritage family to four models. As of June, they will be joined by a fifth model, the R90 Urban GS. Segment revenues also rose in line with deliveries, climbing by 7% to 623 million euros. EBIT rose to 125 million euros, benefiting from higher volumes and positive mix effects. This was an increase of 33% over last year. Due to seasonal factors, the first quarter EBIT margin stood at 20.1%. This is an increase of almost 4 percentage points over the same period of last year. Ladies and gentlemen, now I would like to come to the outlook for the company. Our guidance for the full year 2017 remains unchanged. We still expect to achieve a slight increase in group profit before tax, slight increases in deliveries and revenues in the automotive segment, a significant increase in BMW Motorrad deliveries, an EBIT margin within the target range of 8 to 10% in both the automotive and the motorcycles segment, and a slight decrease in return on equity in the financial services segment, although it will still remain above the targeted minimum level of 18%. Our guidance assumes that there will be no significant change in political and economic conditions. Ladies and gentlemen, the first quarter of 2017 shows that the BMW Group is well on track. All segments are on course to meet their targets for the full year. And with new products like the 5 Series Touring in the pipeline, we expect the strong performance of our core business to continue. High upfront investments in the areas of electromobility and autonomous driving will slightly dampen the upward trend in earnings over the coming quarters as forecast. I would like to emphasize again that our focus remains on profitable growth. This strategy has paid off over the years. The BMW Group has been one of the world's most profitable car companies for years. At the same time, we strive to remain a leader in new technologies and innovations with a clear focus on electromobility. We remain firmly committed to pursuing these goals in the future. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Peter. Colleagues, we'll now turn to your questions. May I ask the colleagues to provide the technical information for the conference? Ladies and gentlemen, we now can start with our Q&A session. If you'd like to ask a question, please push the telephone buttons 0 and 1. Your questions will then be taken in the order received. Should you be listening over the loudspeaker today, I would like to ask you to ask your questions using your receiver. Thank you, and please give us a minute for the first question. First question, Stefan Koenig, Börsenzeitung. Good morning. I have a couple of questions concerning the balance sheet cash flow or free cash flow. First quarter increased. It tripled, in fact, I assume. The momentum in the following quarters will somewhat slacken. What are the effects or the reasons for the weakening momentum? Second point, the share in SUVs in the U.S. was mentioned. You said it increased. Could you quantify that development of the U.S. market? Could you explain that somewhat? The third aspect would be the diesel business, diesel sales. How did they develop in Germany or the other European countries in the first quarter, and where is this heading? Thank you, Mr. Koenig. I propose Herr Peter will talk about cash flow and SUVs in the U.S. development and total U.S. marked diesel business. That will be Mr. Krüger. Mr. Peter. Well, Herr Koenig, thank you for the questions. Cash flow in the first quarter indeed was quite strong. Still, we'll stick with our $3 billion for the total year. The main reason for this is that for seasonal reasons, much higher investments will be made in the third and fourth quarter. This is also due to the ramp-ups of our products. And because of that, you cannot extrapolate from the first quarter for the rest of the year. Mr. Krüger, Herr Koenig, I'll start with the question about the diesel share. Well, worldwide, BMW Group, in Q1 2017, if you compare this with 2016, we had a diesel share of about 37%. Germany had a slight decline from 65 to 64% in Q1 2017. That's 1% less. In March, in fact, we had an increasing number of diesels in the incoming orders. Globally, we have diesel growth in countries such as Russia or Japan. In the EU, a slight decline. So the diesel share, we don't see a clear reduction yet in our figures. So it continues to be attractive for customers. In summary, in Germany, a decline from 65 to 64% from in Q1 16 compared to 17. Now, the share in SUVs in the US, we're coming from a period where we were just below 40%, just more than 30%. We now increase that share in the U.S. to just above 40%. We want to further increase it. The U.S. market is a market where SUVs are still growing and the sedans are a little more under pressure. However, we also had good feedback from the dealers with regard to the new 5 Series sedan. I must say, however, that's not fully available yet everywhere in the U.S. And in the next weeks, there'll be more momentum coming from that. And the performance variant, the M performance models of the new 5 Series, which are very important to U.S., they've also just gone into production and they're coming on the market, as well as the plug-in hybrid. So there will be momentum coming from there. We'll see growth from the 5 Series. But of course, the trend in the U.S., the trend towards SUVs continues. This is why the X1 is very successful in the U.S. and the X3 as well. And this is why we're also doing the X7. Thank you. Next question, please. Next question, Elisabeth Behrmann from Bloomberg News. Good morning. I have three questions. I'd like to know, what are the signs for the second half of the year? How has the market and how has BMW developed so far? Does that meet your expectations from the beginning of the year? And what kind of influences are there from the Brexit, for example? Second question relating to sales figures in the U.S. In April, BMW was slightly weaker than Daimler or Mercedes, although you had the launch of the 5 Series. I'd like to know why that is and to which extent there is perhaps a connection with your pricing policy. Third question, you mentioned in your speech that fuel cell development with Toyota will continue. Can you provide further details about it? 2025 was mentioned once for the first vehicle to come out. Is that still your plan or will that come earlier? Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Behrmann. We're starting with Dr. Peter, second half and the expectations for the year. Dr. Peter, please. Well, Mrs. Behrmann, concerning the second half of the year, on the one hand side, in particular due to our new products, which are successfully about to be launched on the market, especially the 5 Series on the Mini side, the new Countryman, we've got the new 5 Series Touring. So from all of this, we've got positive momentum. But on the other hand, you mentioned Brexit, for example. Over the course of the month of April, we saw that the UK market was slightly under pressure. This is why our forecast sees only a slight increase of EBIT before tax for the group for 2017. Herr Krüger? Well, Mrs. Behrmann, the question about the fuel cell development with Toyota, let me start with that. In the summer 2015, we brought a car on the road, a 5 GT fuel cell vehicle, and we continue to work in that Toyota cooperation. It's going well, I must say. It's a very good cooperation. We're now developing the next technologies. And in about the second half, 2020, you can expect vehicles or further vehicles to be launched. So fuel cells, as part of our technology leadership, they're certainly something that's important that we're successfully working on with our partners, Toyota. Then back to the U.S., the price policy and the slightly weaker market in April, as we said, in all markets, and especially in the U.S. market, which in April was declining overall, also in the premium market as a whole. You see, there is a market trend in the U.S. which is declining, and here we're very careful and very focused to make sure that we don't just do volume at the expense of profit. So there are three things we're looking at. That's the present situation, which is looking pretty good. We've got clean stocks as far as the U.S. market is concerned. We're looking at the residual values very closely and the portfolio, and we're also looking at what kind of offer we're making. And with an X7 that's coming on the market and with other vehicles, we want to extend the offering of SUVs, which is an ongoing trend in the U.S. Then you asked about the 5 Series. 5 Series, were not all the numbers were included in April because, as I said before, certain 5 Series models are only just going to the dealers at the moment. The very sporty models, the M Performance model or the 8-cylinder model, in the U.S., they're much in demand. And in the April figures, these were not included yet. So that's only just beginning now. That's coming in the next few weeks, and then we'll see more momentum there. But the U.S. market is certainly a market which will see somewhat more restrained growth this year. Next question, please. Next question from Mr. Taylor from Reuters. Hello, gentlemen. I wanted to get back to the residual values and the decline of the figures. You said there are seasonal effects that come into play. Can you describe them in more detail? And were these the only effects that led to this residual value decline? Second question, how does BMW see the Brexit negotiations? Can we assume that these negotiations on the terms of the Brexit will take longer than anticipated? And what are the conclusions to be drawn with respect to investment planning at BMW? For a scenario of 3, 4, 5 years, decisions such as the electrified Mini, are these things that you can ignore? Or there's also strikes at Mini. What does that cost BMW at the moment? And last question, China, the new LG-Urquhart policy, do you expect more clarity in this respect? Thank you, Mr. Taylor. I think we'll start with Mr. Krüger on Brexit and China, and then Dr. Peter. Well, China, NEV policy, we don't have clarity here yet. This is still being developed by the government. It turns out, of course, that promotion of e-mobility is something that China wants, and we're well prepared for that. But the precise figures and requirements as to the share of e-mobility in which years are not available yet. I'm sure there will be progress over the next few years, but the trend towards electromobility in China is very strong. Now, about Brexit, it's very difficult to say because the negotiations haven't really properly started yet. As you know, Theresa May is facing elections in the UK. So on the 8th of June, there will be elections, so that might shift positions slightly. The EU is forming its negotiating positions. All I can say is from our perspective that we hope that they will arrive at pragmatic solutions because we have value addition in UK. We also have a Mini location outside the UK. We can be flexible here, but we hope that politics will come to pragmatic solutions here. Mr. Peter. Well, Mr. Taylor, I'd like to start with the residual value development and the used car market. Residual value development plays an important role, especially in our major leasing markets, which are the United States, the UK, and Germany. And the development of residual values met our expectations in the first quarter. In Asia, these values remained stable overall, and in Europe, which means UK and Germany, due to seasonal effects, we saw a slight decline in the price level. The same thing applies to the United States. Let me emphasize, in view of the development of the US market, it is a core aspect for us that profitability of our business development in the US market is core. And based on this strategy and with the new products which will be launched, we're very well positioned. As concerns the second topic, the strike at Mini, at the moment, there are 8 strike days planned for the next 2 months. This began on 19th of April, about 2 weeks ago. It affects the plants in Oxford, Swindon, Hampshire, and Goodwood. At the current point in time, we're not able to comment on costs that we may possibly incur. Thank you. Next question, please. Markus Fasse, Handelsblatt. Good morning, gentlemen. I'd like to get back to the diesel topic and a possible ban on diesel vehicles. Apparently, there are intensive discussions among car manufacturers and the authorities how you can come to terms with the Euro 5 issue. My question is, I mean, we're talking about possible costs per vehicle between 2,000 and 2,500 euros. Can you confirm this? Second question, are you ready to take over these costs? Because the customers can't be expected to pay them. And my third question, for BMW Group in Germany, if we look at it, how many cars would be affected by a conversion? Thank you, Mr. Fasse. Mr. Krüger? Well, that's, of course, a very interesting question you're asking, but I must simply tell you we're not really ready to provide information here. Firstly, these are ongoing discussions. So in the German Car Manufacturers Associations, we have to come to an agreement first, and there are a couple of technical things we still need to clarify because the technical situation in the individual companies is different, and this is why it's also very difficult to assess the costs once, you know, before these two things have been clarified, and also the number of vehicles affected. As long as we haven't clarified the technical facts and as long as we haven't concluded our talks, I cannot really provide any information on this. Thank you. Next question, please. Thank you. Next question comes from Jan Schwarz from Reuters. Thank you. Good morning to everyone. A question about diesel. Herr Krüger, you just strongly supported diesel, which sounds similar to what other manufacturers say, but I hear a lot of concern here as well. At the same time, you presented market share that doesn't seem to be strongly affected yet, and your order book doesn't really show anything either. But what are your indicators? What are the points? What gives rise to concerns for you? Worries that there might be a decline in diesel demand. Is there any indicators that you could share with us, Herr Krüger? Well, Mr. Schwarz, back to the facts, and then I'll get to your point. In Germany, we had a decline of from 65% to 64%. That's 1%. In March, we in fact had increasing figures in diesel sales. Worldwide, we're stable because there's countries where diesel sales are still growing. The Euro 6 diesel and what we're offering there is a clean diesel car. I also took a clear position in favor of diesel, but still, we're consistently going towards electrification as the BMW Group. We need to pursue a dual strategy because all of this depends on how infrastructure develops, how the reach of the e-vehicles develops. It's not all there yet. As I keep saying, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint, and we will consistently work on both topics. We also need the diesel to achieve the EU targets for the CO2 limit 2020. So the further development of diesel is a necessity, and top priority for us is electrification of our portfolio. This is why we've got the 100,000 units of electric vehicles this year. This is what we're planning to reach. Thank you. Next question, please. Currently, I have no further questions. Let me remind you, if you'd like to ask a question, press the buttons 0 and 1 on your telephone. Is there another question? Next question, again from Edward Taylor, Reuters. I wanted to ask about the diesel again. You said in March the share of diesel vehicles increased. KWA yesterday showed that the share of diesel vehicles in diesel decreased by 19%. So how about April? Well, Mr. Taylor, the diesel information, and I haven't got the figures for April yet. I can just, you know, make reference to the share of BMW that we had in Germany or in Europe. I don't know the KWA statistics in detail, but our share, we had 65, we're down to 64. March, in fact, had more orders coming in for diesels. For April, I don't have any data yet. And diesel is also stable on a global level. Of course, we're observing the situation carefully, but among BMW customers, we don't see a change in behavior yet. Thank you. Is there another question? We have no further questions here. Okay. Then I guess we all gain 15 minutes. Thanks from the BMW Group for your questions, and goodbye.